Hi, I'm Cassandra Fredrickson.
And I'm Norman Mitchell, and we're the hosts of Lord of the Rings Minute, the daily podcast where we discuss, appreciate, and delve too deep into the Lord of the Rings extended editions, one minute at a time.
You know there's a Balrog down there, right?
It'll be fine.
Have you ever wondered about Hobbit economy or how wizards get their mail?
Are you also in awe of Hugo Weaving's eyebrows?
Then join us every Monday through Friday on our mission, quest, thing, only on duelinggenre.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dueling Genre.
Welcome to the Jay and Silent Bob Minute, where we are covering the movie Chasing Amy, one minute at a time. Today we are covering minute 50, quite possibly the greatest French dip minute ever. I'm Jeff Ferry.
And I'm Chris Derkach.
And I'm Rick Tatro.
And this minute starts with Holden being a grumpy bitch, and ends with Alyssa offering $50.
Oh, so it starts like every other minute?
So, do you want to know what my first note is? I hate this scene.
This is the one you were complaining about before.
I don't know why. I mean, it's not objectively worse than most of the scenes in this movie, but I hate everything about it. This minute and next minute of like the whole buying the picture thing, it just, their car, everything about it. I wish something else led up to the scene in the car. There is 100 different things he could have written, and I really wish this wasn't it. I almost wish it could have started in the car for all I care. Like, I didn't need this at all, this little transition.
I'll say I love Joey Lauren Adams.
Oh, she's a charm factory, and we've said that before. Like, she is just the only gripe we've had with her this movie is we kind of are wondering, does she not realize the effect that she's having on him?
You know, like, I have found that some women, they don't. They have, you know, they put forth this, and not just necessarily women. There are people. Let me put it this way. There are people who seem really confident and sure of themselves and absolutely in control of everything going on around them and have absolutely no idea how attractive that is. And inside, they're a little ball of insecurity and low self-esteem. And, you know, you have to grab them by the lapels and go, I am flirting with you.
The reason why we said that was there was a couple things she did at the club where she was grabbing onto him and putting her hand on his chest and like the kind of stuff that any red-blooded American male is like, this chick is flirting with me.
It's nonstop. Now, it's nonstop, Jeff. We're going to get into a minute next, and she buys him a gift to remember us. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's strange. Like, I don't really blame her because I think in her mind, once she had the talk with him,
he should have like been done.
Like once she admits like I'm a lesbian, I like women, I think she thinks that's it, we're done now.
Yeah, but yeah. Guys don't believe that shit.
Well, I'm a college teacher and I have been for many, you know, a good percentage of my life. So I have been kind of the counselor's not really the right word, but I've dealt with much younger people for a long time. And I see them going through the stuff like hold on, and you know, kind of like what we said in the last minute, this would be excusable in 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds. For 20-plus, whatever old these people are, they should really be doing better than this.
Yeah.
But I've tried to explain to some of my like very confused female students who were like, I don't know why this guy won't leave me alone. And I'm like, well, did you give him even the slightest in?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, don't smile at him, for Christ's sake.
You've got to be really clear about that no.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, crossing boundaries or anything. I'm talking about, you know, you need to let him know that you're not in any way interested, because if you even slightly hint that you might eventually be, then we start going, well, I got a chance.
Yeah.
Listen. So. Yeah. You just show them the movie Dumb and Dumber, and when she says to him, he goes, what is it, like 1 in 1,000? She goes, more like 1 in 1,000,000. And he says, so you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly. Yeah.
They don't hear the 1,000,000, they hear the one.
Yeah, there's a one in there somewhere.
And I'm telling you right now, most guys think, he's like, listen, I realize that she's a supermodel and independently wealthy, and married. But I think I'm about five sit-ups away from being in her bedroom.
Did you see the way she blinked when I was talking to her? She blinked. I know she wants me. I know she does.
Did you see the way that she looked at me in complete disgust with my sweatpants on? That was love right there.
I think she got a thing for sweatpants. That's what I think.
Well, it's like, the same thing. Hopefully at some point in your life, you grow up enough where you're not like that, at least all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing that you know, you're at Walmart and the cashier goes, "Have a nice day," and she smiles at you and think, "Oh, she's right into me." Like, no.
Or they call you hon. Somebody calls you hon right away. You're like, I'm in.
And we discussed this earlier too. So, like, say all of us eventually get into committed relationships. So, say you're in your 20s, you get into that committed relationship. Now you don't give a shit anymore what anybody thinks.
Right.
So what happens is now that's attractive to people.
Yeah. Well,
because now you don't care.
Well, me not caring is just talking to everybody. And now my wife's like, "Were you flirting with her?" I'm like, "No, I was just talking to her, the lady at the bank, for Christ's sake."
Listen, I'll give a pro tip out here to everybody that's in a committed relationship. If you ever get caught looking or talking, even if you didn't do anything wrong, and it's just being interpreted that way, all you need to say is, "I don't care who it is, just walk by. Sexiest woman on earth just walks by." And you look back, and there's two sets of daggers staring back at you. And she says something, you'd be like, "Yeah, she was really gorgeous. But did you see her ears? Oh my God, they were awful."
Just find something.
Just find something. Find something to cut them up and just keep digging. Just keep hitting them with it. Like, oh my God. Like, what is it? Like, they're dangling on the floor, dragging in the dirt, and just keep hitting it. Again and again and again. That's a free piece of advice. You can come to my class. I mean, that's a little, that one's free. The rest are going to cost you, though.
So that painting is pretty fucking hideous.
Yeah, it's a stupid-ass painting. I agree.
Oh, well, I mean, you don't want to talk about Mr. Bowtie first? I have nothing wrong with the actor. I think he's fine. He might be putting on the most Jersey moment of anybody in this. Of like, "I'm not even going to give you the time of day while you're talking to me. Like, I'm almost going to look at you."
Yeah, he definitely is.
Like, I'm certainly not going to stop doing what I'm doing to have this interaction with the customer. Now, the only difference is now he'd be texting.
Right. He'd be looking down at his...
That's the only thing that would change in the scene. He'd be like,
Maybe it's a statement on what's going on in this scene, but you know what really grabbed my attention was the three thermostats on the wall behind him?
Oh, it's the thermostat, the altimeter, and the barometer, right? Is that the altimeter. What am I, in a plane? Jesus.
I don't even know what an altimeter right is.
Now, and there's like three thermostats in a row behind him. Now, I don't know if this is a set or if this is an actual restaurant. If it's an actual restaurant, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, yeah, look at that. I see them now. There is three thermostats back there. And they're in a weird spot, too, like between pictures and shit.
Yeah. You know, I could see maybe if it's like, you know, three different rooms that have different temperature controls, but then the thermostats should be in those rooms. So I don't know.
That's what it reminds me of, though. We had one of those hanging up on our house. It wasn't like attached to the wall, but it was the temperature, the barometer, and something else. I can't remember what the third thing is.
Do you really need the barometer and stuff?
This is because it's some old-timey bullshit where it's just like, "Oh, the barometric pressure's going down, so."
Yeah. Oh, my knees
temperature,
hurt.
Barometer, and maybe dew point or some shit like that.
I don't even know what it was. Who cares? Like, it was... what I'm thinking of, it was in my house in the 80s, and even that piece had probably been around for 50 years before that. You know?
There's another odd thing. Have you ever hung your coat up at a restaurant, like a small diner?
Not at a diner.
No, I take it, I throw it next to me on the seat, right?
Yeah, throw it next to you in the seat if you're in the booth, or if you have a chair, you hang it over the back of the chair.
Yeah, nobody hangs their coat up. That's weird.
Well, they're hanging their coats up like they're somewhere fancy. You're right. At a diner.
Like, you didn't check your coat. You did not check your coat. And there's like a stuffed animal or something hanging in the middle there. See it? That's a feet and a face.
We don't do coats now. Yeah.
I forgot where you are.
Well, yeah, you do get coats. Don't you break out the coats when it's like 65 degrees?
We just had our winter last week. Thank you very much.
I got news for you. We're still waiting for ours.
Yeah, this is true. This is really true. I hate the cold. I usually wear thermals at like 60 degrees. I haven't wore them yet this year.
Like, we had a couple days. We had like a nice cold snap there where it was like down in the 20s for like 3 days. But that was it.
Oh my God, it's been 50s all this week.
That's really good for everybody that's listening 3 months from now.
Well, just so you know, it's supposed to be cold right now.
All right, hold on. I have praised Joey Lauren Adams up, down, and sideways about her fashion choices for this movie. I am now going to back off of that.
Not a fan of the overalls?
what in the hell's going on here? No, it's not even that I don't like the overalls. I don't like the black on black.
Yeah.
Because it just makes it look like she has clips for nipples.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why.
No. Listen, if that's what you're going for, you're going for some BDSM look. I mean, more power to you, but I'm pretty sure that's not what she's going for. I mean, yeah,
I think it's cute. I've always kind of been a fan of the overalls over a shirt underneath.
Listen, she's unable to not be cute.
This is true.
I wish you would wear them like an old hillbilly with no shirt underneath of it at all. Yeah.
Like Hillbilly Jim or like a
straw hat.
I think I've mentioned Hillbilly Jim 3 weeks straight.
I think so too. So we brought up Snuka and Hillbilly Jim this week already.
Oh, good. That's so Rick can come on for your other podcast, WrestleMania Match by Match.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
First of all, it's not going to happen.
There's a huge outcry for it, Jeff. I don't care what.
Outcry. One person on Facebook said they wanted to hear it.
I think it was two, by the way.
Listen, I went back and looked at the WrestleMania 1 matches. Yeah, I don't even want to do any of them.
Oh, come on. I'll do the research. All you gotta do is hang out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's matches I'm like, who are these guys? And, I watch this stuff.
Yeah, I think the first match is, Tito Santana and the Executioner or something like that. It's I don't even know who the Executioner is.
Listen, I'm not sure I could do 5 minutes on that. I couldn't talk for as long as that match lasted.
You do the backstory, you do the lead up to the match.
You can do all that. And then me and Rick will show up and be like, I don't know. It looks like two pretty muscular guys rolling around, grabbing onto each other.
Yeah. You know, I never really got into wrestling, but when I was a kid, and, Sunday early afternoon or late morning TV, for those of y'all old enough to remember before cable, that was pretty much, it was either wrestling or church. And my brother and I were always we couldn't figure out, is this shit real or not? How are they not killing each other?
This is why I will recommend, if you ever go back, if you listen to Jericho's podcast, Chris Jericho,
yeah,
or Piper before he died when he had his podcast, they'll tell stories about behind the scenes, which is way more fascinating than anything that ever got on TV. Of just someone decided to punch Andre the Giant while they were in the ring. Yeah. And then he decided to punch them in the face and sit on their head for 5 minutes because what are you going to do?
Or the crowd in Mexico believes it's real and is going to stab the bad guy when he's trying to get out of the building.
What do you mean going
to
stab? Yeah. They stabbed Roddy Piper.
They stabbed Roddy Piper, right?
Yeah.
They would just go crazy.
They thought it was real, trying to kill him.
Yeah. They said the bad guys just have to escape out the back door.
Ah, good times. Again, not much. Literally, there's no wrestling in this. Although this guy could definitely be a character in 1986. He could be part of the Heenan family.
Yeah, he probably
could. All right. Does anyone want to break down this picture, please?
It's terrible. I'm trying to get to it now. It's two seagulls, right?
Yeah. And the shittiest boat I've ever seen, or is that a rock?
It's not good. There it goes.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to the picture. I'm watching...
Oh, that is
it's like the pylons like you see down on the shore.
Pointed to it. Oh my god, I could do better than that.
Yeah, it's terrible. The one seagull doesn't even have a head. It's just a black dot. God. It's fucking awful. The beak is black.
Dead seagull.
On the other seagull, it's terrible. It's not good.
Yeah, it's not I've seen. Now, if you go to the shore, if you walk the boardwalk down where Chris and I live, there's always an art store.
Yeah.
And they have some nice stuff in there.
They never had this shit in there.
This garbage they would throw outside. Be like, no, we don't want this.
Bob Ross weep.
Yeah. You know, I was going to bring up Bob Ross, too.
You wouldn't find this shit in a barber shop. It's so bad.
They even know the painter? Like, I don't know.
That's next minute when they say the painter. That had to be somebody's name. Because, they say it it's it's fucking, this is Gauguin we're putting up here. You know, it's a little.
My guess is it is a real guy, and we're going to get harassed in the quicker stop.
You know what? I'll take it. I will take that harassment.
Yeah. I'm going to fight back on this one because this guy sucks. I think Kevin painted it or something.
I don't know. I would say Scott Mosier painted it, but I think it'd be better.
It would be better.
Maybe Muse did it in the middle.
I'm trying to look at the bottom. There's a name at the bottom. Does it just say Bob? Does it literally just say Bob at the bottom of that painting in the corner?
Pull out. Yeah, it's or is it Blob? B-L.
Did you say the Blob?
I don't know. You know, it's kind of like when you're looking at old Star Trek episodes, and you have to remind yourself that no one ever expected this to be seen on such a high def thing.
True.
So maybe it looked better.
It's literally a couple seconds on the screen. Nobody was supposed to look at this painting and you know, art critic it.
But $75? No, because what you're thinking about when you're watching the movie at full speed, like, why is she even talking about this painting? Who the hell goes into a diner and buys a painting off the wall? I don't know what's more surprising, that she wants to buy it or that there's a freaking price tag on it.
Yeah.
Again, I have seen this in a few places where, like, they have stuff on the walls for sale.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, $75, I wouldn't pay $5 for that. Wouldn't pay 75 cents for that.
There's a pizza place not too far from us, Jeff, called Papa's. They used to have like old mob paintings on the wall, and they all had price tags on them.
Yeah, but I understand that. Like, that makes sense.
Cool. Yeah.
Like, somebody drew that and put it up there. Like, I understand somebody also painted this piece of crap, but they couldn't get a better picture. Like, or is it like just some like shitty public domain picture they could get for free?
I'm gonna grab this picture and put it on a fucking t-shirt.
Wow, talk about a deep cut.
And then if you wear it and somebody notices it, they're true friend.
Could you imagine if somebody walked up to you and be like, hey, is that the painting from Chasing Amy? I'd be like, what the who are you? I don't think Kevin could recognize it.
No,
unless he
it's like, hey, I painted that
is the worst boat I've ever seen in my life.
It doesn't look like a boat. It just looks like some shit sticking up out of the water.
Yeah, it's like a rock outcropping.
It's garbage in the friggin' Atlantic Ocean there. That's what it is.
I don't know
if you guys have talked about this. I'm just like scrolling down the IMDb page. I cannot handle skinny Kevin Smith.
He does look strange.
It really weirds me. I mean, good for him. Yeah. I applaud him, but it just weirds me out every time I see
him. The only thing it made him do when he lost all that weight, it made him look 15 years older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's what happens. Like, being chubby makes you look a little younger.
When somebody drops a lot of weight real fast, too, their head always looks giant for some reason.
Yeah, but he was, like, over 300 pounds. Like, yeah. He needed to lose the weight.
And he still dresses like a fat man. He hasn't gotten the...
He's gotten a little better. Like, he's not pure... He's not all jorts and hockey jerseys anymore.
I don't think he's changed his clothes. Like, I think he's still wearing... He's got a lot of baggy shit on.
No, he got... I mean, he wears baggy stuff, but he got rid of... They said he got rid of all that crap. Like, his really fat guy stuff. Because he was, like, auctioning it off. He was doing all kinds of stuff with it.
Oh.
But, I mean, you know, good for him. You know, having a heart attack kind of gives you a wake-up.
Right. I'm sure he feels better.
I mean, please do yourself a favor. If you've never heard, go seek out Smodcast or the other podcast where he tells the heart attack story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to hear him. The man's in the middle of a heart attack, and all he's worried about is that the doctor's going to see his dick.
That's all he's ever worried about, is somebody gets to see his dick.
The doctor's like, he needs to run he needs to run a line into his groin, and he's like, I'm not taking my underwear off. He's like, I'd rather die. That's having your priorities straight.
You know, back in the days before podcasts, I used to comedy albums. Put them on cassette and drives, and I listened to the first inning with Kevin Smith 100, and the story of the first time he and his wife were...
Oh my God, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I've always been both impressed and dismayed at his level of his life.
It's not even that. Like, even if I had the willingness to be that open, which I do not, like, you got to clear that with the other person. Could you imagine?
Right.
Just imagine if you decided tonight to be 50% as open as he is. And, like, that gets back to her somehow, which it always will.
Divorced in a heartbeat.
Yeah, oh, my God.
There's just shit you shouldn't be talking about.
Yeah.
There's a story he told once where he's, like, he and his wife are in a hotel, and she's trying to get ready. They're going out.
I heard this one.
I know the exact story you're about to tell.
He just wants to look at her and jerk off.
Never.
But he's, like, he's not just looking at her. Like, he's, like, down on the floor and, like, picking up holding her butt cheeks open.
Yeah, holding her ass cheeks open. Just let me look at your ass. Oh, come on, Kevin. Really?
It reminded me of a story of I forget which guy's telling. I think it's John Cleese from Monty Python that's telling the story. He wanted to play a joke on one of the other pythons, so he was going to sneak into his hotel room and hide and then jump out at the right moment. He's like, so I sneak into his hotel room. I'm hiding behind the TV. He comes in. He sits down. He gets, you know, he gets dressed, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, now I've realized I've been in this hotel room for like 10 minutes. Like, at this point, the joke's really on me. And he's like, I just, out of nowhere, I just stand up and I say, good evening. And I just walk out.
That's even better.
All right. So besides the fact that she's making the terrible purchase and they're making the easiest $50 ever at this diner.
$75 for that fucking painting?
I know. It's tough to get over how much it is.
She just said it in my ear. I'm like, 75? Are you nuts?
Well, he also noticed that as soon as she says 50, he's like, fuck yeah.
Oh, wrap that shit up. You probably could have said 10 and that shit was going out the door.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's the thing with art is you ask for too much and then you are willing to come down.
Hey, spoiler alert, by the way, he doesn't give her that price in this minute.
Oh, well, she says 50, doesn't she, at the
she
end?
She says 50 and he gives her a look and it just ends right there.
Oh, right, yeah. This is hard. Yeah. Stopping after a minute.
The problem is I'm not sure we're going to have too much to talk about in the next minute. We better not say too much.
Yeah, I've got something good for this.
Oh, yeah.
I've got stuff for the next
minute. Well, I'm going to be, that next minute pissed me off a little bit, though.
Yeah. All right, so everybody seems to be raring to go to the next minute. is there anything about this minute, since all our major characters will still be in that minute, we're not really losing much. I can tell you this, I never worked at a diner, but I worked in a restaurant, and I do feel bad for this guy, because he looks like he's going through all the... He's, like, counting all the checks at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a thankless job.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all handwritten at that point.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. I can remember I used to bust tables, and the waitresses would count out their tips at the end of the night, which I feel bad for them now, because they'd have to count their tips out, and then tip me out through their tips.
Right.
So they'd be like, yeah, I made $80, and I got to give 10 to this fucking 16-year-old asshole.
Is that the place they used to make you dress in period garb, Jeff?
That was it.
Oh.
Not all the time, just December. And I only did it once. I did it for 1 month. Somewhere that picture must exist.
You talked about it before.
My friend who listens to this podcast probably has the picture somewhere if he could find it.
What?
Yeah, I was dressed like I walked out of a fucking Charles Dickens novel.
I got to see this picture.
I had knickers on and I had suspenders. I had a little flat cap.
Bless us, everyone.
Oh, yeah. And that was the second year I worked there, so I had to be 17. I was a senior in high school when that happened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Before you're lucky none of your friends walked in there while you were there.
What are you talking about? My friends worked there.
True.
I was getting harassment right then.
You know, I'm a medieval reenactor, or I was. That's kind of how my wife and I met. I appreciate someone who has the cojon to put on a pair of tights and get out there and take one.
So well, the problem is... What I had to do was, if you really let people see that it bothers you, you're never going to stop here in the end.
Yeah.
You're just going to get shit forever. So you just have to lean into it and be like, I don't care. That's my usual goal now is when somebody insults me, I just insult myself four times harder.
You know what? There was a time, you know, people give me shit about this when they find out. And there was a time where we were in a public park and I was wearing, most of the time I did Viking garb. But this one time, I was wearing tights and a tunic, and I had to walk across the street. We were in a public park, and these two hot girls in a convertible for our Camaro actually stopped and wolf whistled. Thank you, ladies.
I hope you bent your knee and went, my ladies.
Oh, yeah. Then they drove off, so it was like, yeah. You know.
Oh, what would you have done if they pulled over? You wouldn't have known what to do with yourself anyway.
It would have been sad.
Yeah. Be like, have you ladies ever been with a man in tights? Oh, it looks like you're calling the police. I'm sorry, I'll be leaving now.
You're the first person who's ever asked that question about that story. So.
Yeah, it's because I think of what I would do.
Yeah, it's like, and then what? Nothing.
Yeah, I'll bring it back to our old podcast, The Burbs Minute. You remember our old pal, Rick Dukeman? He was Art on there, Chris.
Yes.
He was the neighbor.
Yeah.
He was the one, he had that in his stand-up act. He said, because he's talking about like construction workers, or he's like, do you ever whistle at a girl? It's the opposite of what you did. It was a girl driving by and he's whistling at her. Mm-hmm. And he said the same thing. He's like, what would you do if she just pulled over and climbed out of the car and was like, all right, come over here and fuck me. He's like, you'd be like,
Sorry.
Like, sorry, I gotta go. All right, now that we've actually wandered back to an old podcast that we did, just to let you know what's going on here.
Such a riveting minute that we really...
Listen, I made my point clear from the beginning. I do not like this minute. I don't like this transition from... Like, the diner scene's about a minute and a half, and I feel like you could cut the whole thing and nothing changes.
And she was eating a French dip with a fork, apparently, so pissed me off a little bit, too.
Listen, I barely knew what a French dip was. Isn't it just an open-faced roast beef sandwich?
It's just it's a roast beef sandwich.
On like a bagel.
You're supposed to pick it up and dip it into that au jus or however you say it's all stuff that they give you on the side.
Oh, well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yeah, I got all fancy there. But she's
listen, it's a diner. All you're supposed to do is pick it up and dip it in whatever grease is there.
Right, but she's got she was eating something else. I swore it looked like bacon or something she was eating, or eggs or something.
I paid way more attention to this minute than
I He's in a diner. He was getting hungry. He's like, I'm going to have to head out to the diner. Well, she had two plates of food.
She definitely had two plates of
food. And he looked like he had a salad. Oh, dear Lord.
He didn't put one
plate. I
didn't
hate you more.
I know. Oh, God, I can't stand him.
The problem is, it'd be one thing if he was like, if I thought for a minute that he was like vegan, I'd be like, all right, well, you just don't eat meat. But I don't think
She's eating pasta.
Not her, him.
Him. Oh, him. Which he may pretend like he's vegan because he thinks that's what lesbians do.
But no, I don't see either of them with a French.
Wouldn't they be pescatarians? Oh, that was a cheap joke right there.
I was a pescatarian now. A couple of years. I like tried to go vegetarian and I couldn't do it, so I started eating fish again and then I was.
Yeah, I just eat whatever I pick up that night.
I like food.
I feel like, you know, at some, you know, if my entry into heaven is based on my food choices, I'm in deep shit. Be like, listen, you were right on the fence. Unfortunately, you ate meat on a Friday. You're screwed. I'm like, oh. Stupid Catholics. That's our next movie.
Now I'm definitely down for that film. Was there a costume designer for this movie, or did the actors pick their own shit? Because like she was wearing about 14 bracelets and 18 rings, and
there was a costume designer, but I think it was also a lot of you need to bring your clothes. Like we have like one or two outfits for you, and that's about it. Because I think this is the one in the commentary where he talks about Ben Affleck. It definitely at least one of his outfits is his, because he's like he talks about I'm wearing my real JV clothes here. Like they're just the crap I had. Unfortunately, it's been like 6 months since I listened to the commentary, and there's a lot of commentaries for Kevin Smith's movies, so they all kind of run together because the same people show up on them again and again and again. And I can't remember which one was it where Jason Mewes is. Which one is he blackout drunk, and which one is he
fat?
Which one is he in a heroin stupor during? Yeah. Because there's both of those.
I'll say the commentaries are usually more interesting than the movies.
Oh, his commentaries are great. There's not many commentaries I feel like are worth listening to, like because some of them are just boring and they can't carry. His are funny.
I've heard him do commentaries that ain't even his movies, and they're funny.
they do commentaries on other movies.
Yeah, they're doing Batman and stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Back before podcasts, you know, I would when DVDs came out and the commentary thing hit. That was my bread and butter. That kept me alive on the road so many times.
I did that too. I remember going somewhere on a train one time. I watched all three Back to the Future movies and then watched them all again right in a row with the commentaries on.
Yeah.
I could not even fathom doing that now. I can't imagine. I can't imagine watching a movie with commentary at all, let alone watching a movie and then rewatching it immediately. Like, I just sat through 3 hours of Avengers Endgame. I'm sure I'd love to hear the commentary now.
Yeah, no.
I love the commentary.
I do, but it's just such a time thing anymore. It's just like I got 8,000 movies to watch.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't have a, you know. Well, I guess I could do it on an episode.
Oh boy, I'm sorry that I brought this up.
It's not as easy as just like plugging your cassette player into the headphone jack of the DVD player.
Oh, it'd be tough to get your hands on a cassette player.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah,
I'm way beyond cassette players. I'm all Zune. All right. all right, Rick, why don't you plug one of your podcasts?
If you think what I have to say is even remotely interesting, come over to starbasecommand.net, and you can find my podcast there, Starbase 66, Open the Iris, and City.
And we are the Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We're on DuelingGenre.com. If you like the sound of our voice, you can go all the way back and listen to the Burbs Minute, which you just Google Burbs Minute, you'll find us. And that's about it. You got anything else, Jeff?
It's a fake. I wanna feel passion, I wanna feel pain. I wanna weep at the sound of your name. Come make me laugh or come make me cry. Just make me feel alive. See? Rick got it. There was no chance of you getting that, Chris.
Nope, I had no idea what was going on. Ha ha ha. He does this to me all the time, too.
Listen, I got someone on here that knows Star Trek. I got to do a Star Trek. That's not even a deep cut anymore. That's like a medium cut at this point.